This is Radio 2.
Stow me! The Naval News is getting positively pornographic. I'm happy to say. Here, cop your beady little bardic eyes on this bumpy bird, Goldstein.
Where, Chief?
Goldstein, if I've got to tell you where, you Welshmen are more backward about ladies that are coming forward than I thought you were.
Oh, eh? Disgusting.
Isn't it? Yeah. I like the headline. It all started with Nelson. No wonder they call it the Naval News.
Come on, Chief, turn over the next page.
All right, if you insist.
Oh, Welsh I may be. Prude I'm not. But if my Aunt Morpeth casts her eyeballs over that lot, her drawers a drop off.
Yeah. With dark hair, it could be. If that could well be.
I thought Chief Petty Officers preferred blondes or even redheads. Oh, no. No, come to think of it, their hair colouring is incidental. Because it's never their bonds they're looking at, is it?
Look, never mind that patriotic piece of pulchritude on page 3. Look here. Yeah. Shift your peepers onto this gent on page 5 here.
What's Mr. Phillips doing with dark hair? First Sea Lord offers £200 reward for information regarding his lost son. The son, Simon, disappeared from the home of Sir Geoffrey Wynne Canton Barnes without trace 15 years ago and has not been heard of since. Hey, Chief, do you think that Mr. Phillips could possibly be...
No, Goldstein. I've got a feeling that provided he doesn't see the fate on the Naval News until I'm ready for him to have a butcher's, and that will mean naturally a certain confiscation of all ships' copies of same, then he'll be putty in Pertwee's paws. Eh? Now, if I can persuade him to dye his hair black, everybody will believe that he's the prodigal son.
Why not just pinch his bottle of peroxide rinse?
It's no good. Then he'll go out and buy another crate.
He'll never dye his hair black. I know Mr. Phillips is daft, but he's not as daft as all that.
Well, he'd better, because I need that reward vital.
Why? Who's after you?
Nunky. He advanced me £100 to hijack a lorry. But the driver did the dirty on me. The rotten perisher didn't stop.
And you'd better give him his £100 back, hadn't you?
I can't. I invested it on a slow horse. That's why I've got to get my hands on this reward.
Naughty little problem, isn't it? Either Mr. Phillips darkens his hair and Nunky gets his money, or you get the...
Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Leslie Phillips, John Pertwee, and Stephen Murray.
Now, according to our bad-tempered computer, ill-bred Fred, we should be steering a course of right hand up a bit. But I don't go along with it, you know. I'd say, as the official navigating officer on board this ship, what we really need now is a tincture of the old, left hand down a bit.
Left hand down a bit, it is, sir.
Half speed ahead.
No, correction.
Quarter speed ahead.
Come on now, Mr. Phillips, sir, come on. We're nearly home, sir. You mustn't keep your right little raver waiting. Come on, sir. Give it full head, both, and whoa-hey!
My right little what?
I think he's referring to your demure and refined little waitress friend who works at the Siamese Pussy Bistro.
Otherwise known as Naughty Knocker's Nora. Otherwise known as Miss Wilberforce. Who is only too willing to attend to your every need at the table. Or under it.
Who? That waitress. Yes, well. She's off, actually.
Hello. That's another romance gone for a chop. Come on, Mr. Phillips.
tell us what happened.
Well, there's no pleasing some women, is there? I mean, you do your best from what you get.
Oh, that's entirely up to you, my lady acquaintance and yourself, sir.
I'll tell you what you get. Total ingratitude. That they're only grateful as long as your purse holds out.
Pardon?
I took Naughty Knocker, Miss Wilberforce to this super little restaurant I know, and she complained from the moment we got there to the moment we left. She complained about everything. The gravy stains on the tablecloth, the filthy cutlery, the cold food, the bad service, and she reckoned the wine was no better than vinegar.
Well, you can't blame her for that. Obviously, if she's in the catering business, she'd be a connoisseur. What was the name of this restaurant you took her to?
The Siamese Pussy Bistro.
Oh, dear. You know, there are some people you just can't help.
Mind you, in all fairness, of course, I could be wrong, but I got the definite feeling it was all going terribly well between us until the moment we got there and I took my hat off and hung it on the hat stand.
You said that your evening of abandoned gaiety all fell apart when you took your hat off, sir?
Yes, yes.
Then that's it, then. It's your boss that did it.
I don't see that. I admit he looks a complete twit with his hat on, but he doesn't look any lesser one with it off.
Gosh, thanks.
Come on, and Murray, sir. It's not just his funny-shaped boss. It's the colour of his hair that's all wrong. He ought to be a brunette.
No. That's ridiculous. I'm fair-haired, and the Ritterkins married me.
It's a valid point, sir. But may one be so bold as to ask where one popped the question?
Oh, well, if you must know, Ritterkins and I were sitting in the Cafe Horseshoe in Badminton High Street, holding hands in between whiles.
In between what whiles?
Well, every now and then she had to keep popping out. To check the lights on Bouncing Betty's horse box that hadn't gone out because the battery was a bit low. I remember we both chuckled when we both realized that I was on my cream caramel and Rita was still only halfway through her onion soup.
Yes, hardly a musical, I'm sure, sir, but could we get to the nitty-gritty, sir?
Oh, well, you're taking some of the romance out of it, but 2 hours later, when Ritterkins was nibbling at her cheese and bitties, I realized the time was ripe.
Ripe for what?
Question-popping time. I said, will you? And she breathed, yes. And I ask you both to believe the candles on our table flickered yes in approval as she said it.
Oh, I see, sir. It was a candle-lit nosh, was it? Yeah, well, that explains it, you know, sir, because in the candlelight you looked all dark and handsome. 100-watt bulb, when she'd have said no time, you'd have ended up living in sin.
What's she talking about?
You weren't listening, sir. Hmm? Tall, dark and handsome. Watch the box every Sunday afternoon. What do you see? Never a blonde. Ah, always a brunette gent. You know, Victor Mature, Raymond Navarro, William Powell, Robert Taylor, not to mention tyrannical power. Or even Mickey Mouse is a black-haired fella.
No, wait a minute, I'm wrong. I slipped the band leader 2 shillings to play our tune, Horsey, Horsey. Ritterkins appreciated that.
Now, wait a minute, Chief. Wait a minute, there's a flaw in your argument. All film stars weren't brunette. I mean, what about Jean Harlow or Carol Lombard, Betty Grable? They were all blondes.
That's a brave try, Mr. Phillips, sir. But it may have escaped your notice that Carol, Jean and Betty didn't have quite the same sexual attributicals like what you've got.
I've got the feeling you're trying to tell me something.
No, sir. Far be it from me to interfere with your amoralities. But it is my confirmed diagnosis that if your hair was dark instead of straw-coloured,
Oh, pardon the expression, sir. You'd be up to your knees in birds.
Hello?
Carrington Loan Agency. Is it all Carrington speaking? How much?
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Carrington. Captain Povey here. I shall have to make this quick. You see, I'm at home, and my dear wife Ramona has only popped next door for a minute, and I'm using her phone without permission.
Fascinating. So how much over how long, eh?
Well, you see, it's like this. Now, my wife has filled in a pool's coupon every week for the last 5 years. Plan B, 25p invested, and no publicity.
Oh, how original.
Now, for every week for the last 5 years, I've torn up the coupon and kept the money.
Oi, oi, naughty boy.
And now the worst has happened. Last Saturday, she won a fourth dividend, and the papers forecast that it is likely to be £100. But I haven't got £100. I haven't even got 100p.
Ah, so finally we've got around to how much over how long.
Yes, quite. So if you could see your way clear to letting me have £100 by tomorrow morning, you might save my marriage.
Ah, a worthy cause, I'm sure, but not so fast. Are you salaried?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm a captain in Her Majesty's Royal Navy.
Bad news. A hazardous occupation.
Oh, no. No, I'm shore-based. I don't go to sea anymore.
Over the hill, are we? That only leaves you one chance. Are you a householder?
Well, in a way. Naturally, it belongs to my dear wife, Ramona.
Ah, you're a tenant. Well, there's your lot, then. Sorry, no chance. Nice not to have done business with you.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Please, I'm desperate. I've got to have the money. Your advert said, do you want a loan now? And oh, good grief, I do. If she ever... Ah, she's back. Goodbye.
Henry Purvey, I heard that.
Heard what?
That huh? Ding. I shan't warn you again about tampering with my ding-a-ling.
I was only dusting it, my love.
Were you? Well, in that case, where is your Ramona paid for duster?
Well, I really...
Just a minute. Don't prevaricate. As I thought. Just as I thought. You were making a telephone call.
How could you?
The earpiece is still warm.
I remember now. It was the wrong number. My word, it was.
Right. Well, next time there's a wrong number, don't answer it.
Very well.
Now then. I have informed the persons who have the honor of living next door to me that I shall not allow the substantial fortune that will shortly be coming my way to influence my attitude towards you.
Oh, do you think that was wise, my love, to tell them you'd come up on the pools?
I told them nothing of the sort. I informed them that I was about to receive a legacy from an influential friend in Liverpool.
But that's a fib, my love.
It was merely a wise precaution. I don't intend to have my Ramona paid for a letterbox and its little spring worn out by thousands of begging letters. Now then, tonight I very generously laid on a magnificent celebration supper. You will find a whole sausage in my refrigerator. So, get cooking, Henry.
Have you got your girls organising?
I've been steaming up the river how many more times? They're waiting in the car park at the Popple's Head Pump.
Yeah, but you sure they know what they're there for?
Well, for buffing up the cuticles. They're not there to pinch the hubcaps, are they?
Well, if they're friends of yours, Myrtle, they'll probably take the wheels as well.
How charming. My friends are all nice, refined birds like what I am.
Do you girls know that as soon as they see Mr. Phillips's unbelievably shiny black bonce, they've got to rush out the car park and mob him?
Oh, for walking round a puddle. By the time those girls are finished with him, he'll think he's Donny Osmond.
Come on, Mr. Phillips, cheer up. I mean, what's there to cheer up about? According to the chief, I'm supposed to be ankle deep in beautiful, bumpy birds. I'm not even up to my tiny tootsies in them.
Give me time, Mr. Phillips.
I have. For 24 hours, my hair has looked like an advert for a hearse. Nothing's happened. I mean, not a wolf whistle or a hello sailor all day.
Try and look on the bright side, Mr. Phillips. When you were blonde, you never got any wolf whistles or hello sailors either.
There he is,
Oh, what's happening?
Come on,
Ben! I say, oh, what's happening?
Who are all those girls?
It's jackpot, Mr. Phillips. Your unbelievable shiny black bodice is working. In the pub, quick, before they grab you and tear your clothes off and kiss you.
I think I'll stick around for a while.
Don't argue. In the pub, quick.
My word, that was a narrow escape.
It was. Dash it. Perhaps I should pop outside again and have a quiet...
You'll do nothing of the sort, Valentino. You sit down while I get the drinks.
Yeah, oh, thanks. I'll have a lemonade shandy. Yes, they're jolly potent in this pub, you know. Do you think if I asked the landlord nicely, he'd give me the recipe?
Oh, I should think as a regular lemonade shandy drinker, he would.
I'm not so sure. They guard their secrets very jealously, you know.
Who do?
These chaps who have a reputation for being recipists in pubs. It's an art handed down from father to son.
Yeah, so I believe. Now, sit there while I go and get a drink.
I tell you, you're wrong, Chief. The evidence is all against you.
What evidence?
It's all down here in black and white in my diary. Read it for yourself. 7 o'clock, 2 pints on Goldstein. 7:30, 2 pints on Pertwee.
What?
8 o'clock, 2 halves on Goldstein. 8:30, nothing. So it's your turn.
Oh, no, it's not. You're still 2 halves down on 8 o'clock.
My next round isn't due until 8.
Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. Look over there.
Look. Where?
There. £100 worth of unbelievably shiny black-haired goose just flew into Pertwee's nest.
One golden egg on the way.
Right. Here, give us that copy of the Naval News. I want to get at him while Cormoran and Murray's still at the bar.
Gosh, Chief, how nice to see you. I can only thank you from the top of my unbelievably shiny black box. Your advice was absolutely right. You're not going to credit this, but the car park is crammed with beautiful, bouncy birds screaming for lovable Leslie.
My word, sir. What a surprise, sir. The name boggles, sir.
Now, after all, it's not fair on those poor girls that so much animal attraction is packed into just one naval officer. I mean, as I was shaving this morning...
Something new's been added here.
Yes, I thought, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the darkest of them all?
And what did Mr. Mirror say back to you, sir?
Well, Mr. Mirror said, after you, Leslie, who else is there? Only Elvis.
How true, sir. How very, very true. Yeah. But as befitting one with the top of his head looking like the inside of an unswept chimney pot. One must not lose sight of one's high position in the subhuman throttle of life.
High position? Oh, no. Well, way above you I may be, but I am only a sub-lieutenant.
Ah, sub-lieutenant this week, perhaps, sir. Next week, admiral or above, sir.
Oh, come off it, Chief. I mean, you don't get promotion in the Navy just because you're a super-looking chap. I mean, it drives all the girls absolutely potty and all the senior officers' wives ask you to tea and just because you've got, it. Because you're an oomph boy.
Yes, well, if you believe that, sir, it would explain why you're still a sub-lieutenant, sir. No, I was referring, sir, to your photo in this week's Naval News.
My photo in the Navy News? Mm-hmm. Lummy. Of all the bad luck, my copy wasn't delivered this week. In fact, there wasn't a copy on the entire ship.
Ah, yes, yes. A newspaper boy's strike, no doubt, sir. Well, I collected my personal one. Take a gander here at your printed likeness.
Gosh! What do I mean, Lummy? Yes, I mean Lummy. No, I mean, gosh. I don't remember sitting for this photograph.
Oh, the camera cannot lie. Sir.
But according to this, I'm the son of the Sea Lord. That means, instead of being lovable Leslie Phillips, I'm really sexy Simon Wincanton Barnes.
A man's like a laser beam, sir. Got it in one. They've taken the liberty of staking your claim with your new daddy.
I can't believe it. I'm the son of a sea lord. But wait a minute. If I'm the son of Sir Geoffrey and Lady Wincanton Barnes, who were those other two people who I called Mummy and Daddy? Who kept sending me to school with my sandwiches
and a little note about my plimsolls.
They were imposters, sir. Obviously imposters.
Sorry to be so long getting the drinks.
Guess who I am?
No, it's a game that he's playing, Mr. Morris. I wouldn't bother to join in because he don't know the rules himself yet, sir.
It's something to do with SWB.
Swoop? Well, that's ridiculous. You can't have a word beginning with swoop. Silly game. I shan't encourage you.
Very wise, sir. Very wise.
Oh, Chief, I almost forgot. Mine host behind the bar's got a message for you. Said it was urgent.
Oh, well, in that case, I'd better go and have a shifty, sir. Let's see who this is from. Blimey. Monkey.
Dear Johnsy, only 20 hours left for the 100 knicker, or the heavy gang will be on to you. Yours affectionately, Nunky.
Hello, Carrington Friendly Agency. Is it all Carrington speaking? How much?
Oh, Mr. Carrington, this is Captain Povey, RN here. I'm sure you remember me.
Povey? Oh, the one who wanted 100 quid for his bird and who is over the hill?
Exactly. No. I wondered if you'd reconsidered my case.
Oh, I have. Very seriously. And my decision is...
Yes?
No.
But you don't understand. If my dear wife Ramona doesn't collect her divvy and find out that I've misappropriated her 25p stake, I shall end up sleeping in a little shed at the bottom of her garden.
Eh?
The one where I keep my bicycle.
Oh, well, that's a relief. In what sort of nick is your bike?
Oh, it's a Hotspur with 22-inch wheels at 3-speed. Well, 2, because the middle one doesn't work. But the bell's new.
Shame. That could have reversed my decision on the loan. I was considering it as a collateral.
You mean for £100?
No, for the 25p. Good day to you, Captain Povey. Don't bother to ring again, because even if I'm in, I shall be out. Nice not to have done business with you.
No, wait. I'm desperate. Oh.
You're no luck, sir. Now, have you tried anybody else?
I've tried everybody else twice.
Oh, well, never mind, sir. The warmer weather's coming. She'll be quite cozy in that little shed at the bottom of her garden.
But it's so tiny, there's hardly room to stand up.
Well, then don't. Sit on the saddle and go to sleep with your head against the wall.
Wretched. I know you're reveling in this, but it's not a laughing matter.
No, it isn't. I mean, it could really be a freak week on the pools. I mean, it might be a lot more than £100.
Oh, good grief.
Why don't you check your paper, sir? The dividends are declared on the back page.
Yes, here we are. First dividend, £3,250. Mm. Second dividend, £7.28. Third dividend, 14p. I'm saved. No fourth.
you knew all the time.
Excuse me, sir. That'll be our three musketeers. I'll let them in. This way, Abbott, Payos, and Chaos.
I think Sub-Lieutenant Chaos would rather have been Sub-Lieutenant D'Artagnan, actually. Where is he? Where's my new daddy?
New daddy?
We have tried to explain to him, sir. You see, it's all a gigantic misunderstanding.
What is chief? What have you been up to this time?
Well, if you don't mind, sir, I'd rather come on and Murray explain to him. He's got a much better way with Burbage than what I have. As I found out during 2 diabolical hours in his cabin this morning.
Exactly. I'm satisfied that it was only the chief's over-enthusiasm for the welfare of the service that prompted his well-meant phone call to Sir Geoffrey Wincanton Bar.
He phoned the Sea Lord? Well, yes, sir. He's my new daddy.
Shut up. As I was saying, sir, Perkley started all this with the best of intentions. At no time did he get his greedy paws on... did money change hands?
Where's my new daddy?
Shut up! For my part, Captain Povey, sir, I've made a private arrangement with Perkley's Uncle Ebenezer to call off the heavy gang, so everything is... All right.
Money changed hands? Heavy gang? What are you talking about?
Oh, I, I was forgetting. You probably didn't get your copy of this week's Naval News.
No, I didn't. I believe it was a newspaper boy's strike.
Quite. There was a photograph of Sir Geoffrey Wincanton Barnes' long-lost son who bore a striking resemblance to Mr. Phillips. If only he'd had dark hair. And there was a £200 reward for the recovery of Sade.
Oh, I'm beginning to see why there was a newspaper boy strike.
Yeah, it was unofficial.
I say, it's all jolly well for you chaps, but when am I going to meet my real daddy?
I'm sorry about this, sir, but...
Answer my way, girl! I'm Sir Geoffrey Wincanton Barnes. Now, where's that little rotter Simon?
Here I am, Daddy.
No, Mr. Phillips. Not while he's aiming a shotgun at you.
Yes, I am. Hello, Daddy. Welcome home to me. May I say... Shotgun?
Where's all the family silver you stole, eh? 15 years ago.
What?
Right, Simon. I've got both barrels loaded, and I shall give you 5 seconds start. 5, 4...
If I were you, sir, I'd get your little trotters going a bit sharpish.
3!
It's all a mistake, Daddy. I'm not Simon. I'm Lovable Leslie. I was sent to school by 2 imposters with my sandwiches and a note about my plimsolls.
2!
Grand point, Mr. Phillips. He's got his finger on the trigger.
Oh, no, nasty. Good morning.
Doctor!
Miss! Oh! Here, look. Here, Mr. Phillips is getting away from him.
Only because Sir Geoffrey's reloading.
Hands! Oh, baby, that's you, blaster!
Come on, Mr. Phillips. Mr. Phillips.
Come on, Grand point.
Stop shooting! I'm a new chap. Leslie Phillips, John Pertwee, and Stephen Murray have been rejuvenating The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer. Stephen Murray was the CEO. Richard Caldicott was Captain Povey. Heather Chasen was Ren Chasen. Tenniel Evans was Taffy Goldstein. Michael Bates was Isidore Carrington. The announcer was Don Debridge. The show was produced by Alastair Scott Johnston.
Leslie Phillips, who's now appearing in Roger's Last Stand at the Duke of York's Theatre, London, and Richard Caldicott is now appearing in No Sex, Please, We're British, at the Strand Theatre, London. The time, exactly 2:30. This is Radio 2, 1500 metres, and VHF.